President Joe Biden, spending the weekend at his home in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, said his hope was that the border numbers would continue to go down, but that we have a lot more work to do. We need some more help from Congress as well in terms of funding and legislative changes, Biden told reporters. President Biden said managing the situation at the border, however, was going much better than you all expected. The administration is touting new legal pathways in an effort to deter illegal crossings, including parole for 30,000 Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans and Venezuelans a month who apply online with a financial sponsor and arrive at an airport. Hundreds of predominantly Colombian migrants waited to be processed on Saturday in searing heat near Jacumba, California. Having slept for days in thatched tents east of San Diego and getting by on the Border Patrol's limited supply of cookies and water. CNN Cable News Network has also covered this story and tells us more. The United States is bracing for the expiration of a pandemic-era border restriction this week, with officials fearing it will spur a surge of migrants and exacerbate an already challenging humanitarian crisis at the southern border with Mexico. No matter how much we're prepared, I don't think we're going to be prepared enough, John Martin, deputy director of the Opportunity Center for the Homeless in El Paso, Texas, told CNN on Sunday. Title 42 is a Trump-era policy that allowed the government to quickly turn away certain migrants at the border with Mexico, originally with the aim of stopping the spread of COVID-19. I wanted to emphasize more so than anything else at this point, this is a national issue. John Martin, deputy director of the Opportunity Center for the Homeless in El Paso, Texas, said. We here in El Paso, along with many other communities along the southern border, just happen to be at the front doorstep. While first implemented under the Trump administration as a response to the pandemic, Title 42 has been kept in place by the courts and used by the Biden administration to deal with migrants at the southern border with Mexico. U.S. Customs and Border Protection has already seen an uptick in migrants crossing the border with Mexico, with more than 8,000 daily encounters, according to a Homeland Security official, a number that officials predict could reach 10,000 once Title 42 has been lifted. There are around 25,000 migrants in custody, the official said, straining processing facilities that are already over capacity. I think that there is no question that this is going to be extremely challenging, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said on Friday, 12th of May, speaking in Brownsville, Texas. Mayorkas was speaking during a visit to the Rio Grande Valley. I do not want to understate the severity of the challenge that we expect to encounter. But federal officials have long been preparing for the end of Title 42, Alejandro Mayorkas stressed, saying the government was ready. We have a plan, he said. Still in a news conference on Monday morning, Texas Governor Greg Abbott likened the expiration of Title 42 as a laying out of a welcome mat to migrants across the world, signaling to them America's borders are wide open. Texas Governor Greg Abbott said, it will lead to an incredible amount of people coming across the border illegally. The administration's policies would cause a catastrophic disaster.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady. You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear ladies, welcome to a new episode of Muslim Lady. Well, this is IRB English Radio. I am Asma, playing your host for today, and Sister Zainab is here with me. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum assalam, and assalamu alaikum to you and your listeners.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Well, so previously on Muslim Lady, we talked about the choices of jobs for a woman to take in society. We went for too much of factors. We talked about the laws that a country might have for the laws of a country to restrict a woman from a special sort of jobs like mining, like being a truck driver, like the difficult jobs that are not suitable for a woman to do, considering her body, considering her physiology or things like that. And then also we talked about the very thing that naturally, as a woman, I do not like to go for special sorts of jobs, like the jobs that are going to cause me too much of damages, like the jobs that are going to change me upside down, like the jobs that are going to make me lose my hair, I don't know, have dark circles underneath my eyes, and then, and it's not just that, my hormones are going to change as well, because if I have to stay awake at night, then it's going to have too much of consequences for me, as in considering my body. Then we also talked about poverty. We said that if there's a poverty in a place, then a woman might be forced into getting into special sorts of jobs that she's not really interested to do, but she has to go there because she has to provide money for her family, whether it be her family, as in she's married, she's going to bring that money for her children, or she's the daughter of a family or whatever. You know, it happens that we see that in many families, the daughters of the family are starting to be the head of that family. And we also said that Islam has always recommended us to take care of each other. And by that, we mean that if me, as the neighbor of a poor person, take care of that family as much as I can, of course, then we would not see a woman getting forced into special sorts of jobs that are not going to be suitable for her, or that are not going to provide enough of modesty for her. So right now, imagine that normally everything is pretty cool and the situation is so positive, but I want to go for a job. Living poverty aside, so I'm not going for a job for the reason of money. I'm doing that for my own benefit, and I love the job I'm doing. Yet, there are special things that I have to take into account before I get into that job. I want to talk more about these sort of things that I have to take into account.
Now, as a woman, because of any of the reasons, be that poverty or be that for being independent woman or just exploring your skills, you want to explore in the society. And what are the things that you need to care about? It's a beautiful question. All right. So there are certain things that women need to take care of if they're in the job field and due to any of the reasons we said, be that like just she wants to be a financial help to the family or just she wants to be independent or just she wants to explore herself. Such consent she has to be taken care of. If she's unmarried, she has to take care of the consent of her guardian or if she's married, of her husband. Because men generally have a broader perspective of how her work will actually influence the family and its functioning or the society itself. Because men themselves, when they are in this society, they know how other women look like or work like or what is the perspective of men regarding other women. So they have definitely have a broader perspective on that note. Next thing she should, she must make ensure her home and family are properly cared for. Sometimes we offer careers and we forget family.
Yeah.
That's the worst choice left between the work and family a woman faces in her life. Here, many studies, many Islamic teachings suggest family comes first. Responsibilities come first because it's not the responsibility of a woman to be providing,
the money or the facilities for the family.
For the family, it's man who is responsible for that. Yeah. So this has to be always taken into consideration because the world today is telling women like you are as good as man. You should be equal. You should be, this and that, degrading her physical anatomy, degrading her emotional status, just ready to drain her. Yeah. Physically, emotionally, for their own benefits. So she must ensure, first of all, her home and then and family are properly cared. Then she should look for a job which is appropriate for her.
Yeah, that with much of dignity.
Her skills fit into that particular mm-hmm. job. Sometimes a woman is fit for something, but she gets into something else.
Yeah.
So sometimes if you have difficulty as a woman to look into what you are working and what you, I had one of the friends, she was working in some particular sector, but she loved cooking. And then she loved painting.
Yeah.
And ultimately she made cooking as her job. She used to earn from that. And that was what would make her more happy. What I want to try to say over here is that look what makes you happy.
Yes.
The thing that makes you happy is your talent. Because sometimes there are so many women out there who don't know what's their talent. What is their skill? Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for your skill, look for what makes you happy, what gives you satisfaction. Yeah. And also compare it with Islamic guidelines. If it's okay, then you can go for it. And if it's not, then you should rethink and again, reanalyze yourself.
Exactly. Or use your talent in a better way accordingly with the rules of Islam. So thank you, sister. Right now, I guess it's time for us to go for a short break. After that, we're going to dig deeper into this discussion. We said that for a woman, after she chooses to go for a job, for whatever reason, she has to take care of consent of her husband or the consent of her father as her guardians. And then also taking care of her family, making sure that she's going to make a balance between her job and her family, not taking care of one and sacrificing one for the other one.
Exactly.
And then also she has to think too much about what is the appropriate job for her. You talked about talent and I love that. You said a beautiful thing actually. Think about what makes you happy and what you love doing, that is going to be your talent.
Exactly, because sometimes we are unable to explore our talents.
Yeah.
And the beautiful way to explore it is to find what you love doing.
Exactly.
Because the thing that you love doing is actually your skill, is actually mm-hmm. your talent. The only you need to do is polish it. And first of all, you can only polish it if that's fit into the Islamic frame.
Yeah.
So the other things that a woman should be looking for when she opts for a job is that avoid any kind of job that prevents her from fulfilling Islamic obligations, like the Islamic dress code, like the hijab,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there are some of the jobs that do not allow you.
Yeah, that's very important. Yes.
To go in for a job, like to be in hijab, in a proper hijab. I remember like when I was 18 years old and I was having this kind of passion within me. I want to be an independent girl. Although my both parents were working and we had good financial conditions, there was no need of me to going out for a job. But I was just 18 and there was so much advertisement about women should come into this sector. Women should. It was those advertisements basically that was actually dragging me. And also the concept of, come on, let's be independent.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be kind of independent.
That's the age of independence, I guess.
Yeah. So, there were some kinds of jobs that, like, there was a job of air hostess that was providing the highest amount of salary those days. I just loved this job advertisement based on the, you know, the amount of salary they give, the amount of tours you have, the amount of, you know, everything you have.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I go through the criteria, that was the most hated job I found in that particular environment where I was living. And I had this idea that this job might be hated by all women who are working in the Air Force. But then it changed with the time. What was the criteria was that your body should be having this particular size for, you know, each and every part had a different size. And that was the most disgrace they could do.
Oh, my God.
To a woman, like writing those in the eligibilities. Then it was like hijab was not there. The mini skirts were the options.
Yeah, and for many jobs, they actually ask you to take off your hijab.
Yeah, to take off your hijab. I was just reading this, one of the stories from a Muslim lady who said that I became a Muslim. I was not a Muslim. And then I was working. I was trying to work, look for a job in New York City. And then I preferred to go for interview without her job. And the moment I was just thinking this, I don't know what happened to me. And I preferred to go with her job for interview. I was rejected in one of the interviews only. And I was accepted in all of the interviews I had that day. So she was saying, I just did one thing. The moment I feared her job, preferred to go with her job, I did tawakkul to God, you know, I relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I said, like, it's you who matters to me at the end mm-hmm. of the day. It's not the people. I know you're going to help me with the job.
To put your whole trust in Allah.
Exactly. Then this woman does not have any issues in a country like which is completely against, I will say, a hijabi woman mm-hmm. or like does so much propaganda.
So this is very important. The thing that we should notice about is the fact that, okay, I want to go for a job, but I am not going to get that job at whatever cost.
Exactly.
It shouldn't cost me my character. It shouldn't cost me my religion and my creed and the way I think, the things
my
I believe in.
My obligations, my Islamic obligations, my duties, whatever
Islam
is.
These are very important. And, you know, every single one of us has got too much of a stories that we have heard from the women around us with the strange job offers that they get when they are about to get a job. So just as you are rehashing those stories, let's go for a break and then we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Yeah, this is the ending part, and let's have a quick look over the gist of what we were talking about.
I just was getting reminded of my own experiences throughout the course of...
Yeah,
it's not only about jobs. Women should always consider, like, when they are even studying, they should be taking these things into consideration, like during their studies as well. Because while I was studying, so many people tell me, like, you are so good at journalism. Why didn't you study journalism? Because I didn't study journalism. I studied something else. I studied linguistics.
Yeah.
So when people ask me, I'm not able to answer it all the time. The reason was that the Department of Journalism did not have a prayer room.
Yeah.
And the department, well, the university that I studied in, the Department of Linguistics, had a separate prayer room for women. So, you know, prefer subjects or prefer the jobs that actually do not become an obstacle for your Islamic obligations. And then, alhamdulillah, I excelled in that field. And I, along with my linguistics, I excelled in journalism as well without just technically going for the journalism studies.
When you sacrifice your wishes for the sake of Allah, Allah Himself is going to pave the road for you to flourish in the thing that you just sacrificed. You know, it's the whole story, and it happens all the time in our lives.
Yeah, so the only thing that is to, you have to maintain your inward and outward modesty, whatever you're doing.
Yeah, that's very true. So as you are going for your jobs, for your dream jobs, try to focus on the very thing that I'm a woman, I have a dignity, and I should take care of it. I am going to get my own job, the job that I love, but not at any cost. So I consider myself at first, then the things that are going to be perfect for me, and not just having a job just for getting a special amount of money and that's it. No, it's more than that, and we really have to think about it twice. So thank you for being with us. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Salam, and we start the day by contemplating upon a valuable piece of advice from the Prophet's infallible successor, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him. Three characteristics bring about hatred, that is, hypocrisy, oppression, and self-conceit.
This is A to Z. An introduction to an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, how to get rid of the memories of my childhood. In the name of God, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, may His peace and blessings be upon Muhammad and His pure Immaculate Ahlul Bayt. Salamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. You are listening to A to Z, IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, and I'm Farhad, your host, and I'm very honored to have you with me for this program. We're going to start our program with a very important question. Someone has said that the memories of my childhood and the problems of my family that led to this physical abuse and then to a divorce of my father and mother and the misfortunes that followed distressed me. I do not know how to forget them. Whenever I remember them, I become so distressed so that I lose my composure and I faint. There is no doubt that these things exhaust man's strength and abilities, which he needs for success in his future. Would you please tell me how to be rid of this state? Very severe, actually, situation. For answering this question, one of the most important bases of raising children is the relationship between parents, which is based on love, respect, and mutual understanding and cooperation. It gives children spiritual and mental stability, and this is what you have lost in your childhood. However, this does not mean that you should apply to your life what happened to your parents. Everyone has an independent will, and his punishment also near Allah does not have anything to do with others' punishments. So if you agree with me on this belief, which is the fact in our true religion, you should do the following principles. I'm going to count you, and these principles are taken from Quran and Hadith. Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters. You are listening to A2Z, IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. So we were talking about the principles that, with the help of them, we can rid of the bad memories of our childhood. So let's count them together. The very first one is to seize any opportunity to build your personality and gain the factors of success in your life. It's quite important, and we can do it by many things actually in our life. But it's a very important title. We need to put it at the beginning of our principles. Secondly, consider any success in your life as a possible of being repeated and reproduced, and do not stop after a certain point or satisfy yourself with what you have achieved. So you always need to look for something bigger, inshallah. And thirdly, know well that man, whatever bitter memories may distress him or press on his nerves, is able to pass over them on condition that he trusts in his mental abilities and relies on his Lord, Allah, the Almighty. And four, do not allow negative memories to overcome your heart. Try to omit them from your memory whenever they attack you. Busy yourself with reciting the Holy Quran, reciting supplications, reading good books, and remembering your nice memories, or leave your place, or perform ablution, wudu, or ghusl, and walk and ponder over nature, the sky and its stars, the sea and its wonders, the trees and its fruits, the flowers and their fragrances. Also, read books that will help you build a faithful personality and learn the ways that the believers succeeded. And read about the great people in history. You will find that most of them have undergone in their childhood different family and social sufferings like orphanhood, homelessness and injustice. Karbala of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam gave us a great lessons which were completed by Imam Hussein's sister, Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam, who inspired the spirit of resistance in the orphans and captives, until she turned the apparently victorious into the real defeated. On the other hand, successful discoveries and invention have come after many failed experiments. Then shake off the dust of your memories and extort your success from your parents' failures. I hope everyone a good life. Thank you for staying with us.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Since mid-January, the French government has been facing nationwide protests against its plans to raise the pension age by 2 years to 64. Millions of people have been demonstrating and joining strike action since then to show their opposition to Macron's plan. The protests have intensified since the government used special constitutional powers to bypass Parliament on a final vote on the pension bill.
So So the French government decided yesterday to trigger what is known as the Article 49.3 of the Constitution, which is a special power the government has to force a vote, to force a reform through Parliament without a vote. That's something that's within its rights. The government can do it if it wants. Other governments in the past have done it before, but it's political dynamite. And of course, for the government, it's embarrassing because it shows that it hasn't got a majority in Parliament to pass its reforms.
The move has brought scenes of chaos reminiscent of unrest by supporters of the Yellow Vest movement during Macron's first term as president. According to the French Interior Minister Gérald Darmanin, 13,000 police had been deployed, 5,500 of them in Paris alone. The French president was supposed to have been hosting King Charles for a day of pomp and ceremony in late March, but had to cancel the state visit because of the demonstrations. On March 28th, even the Eiffel Tower, the symbol of France, closed its doors to visitors as its staff went on strike. The same day, clashes erupted between police and protesters in the western city of Nantes as public anger over pension reforms evolved into broader anti-Macron sentiment. Macron, who promised to deliver a pension system reform in his presidential campaigns, says the reform is needed to keep the country's finances in balance. Unions and opposition parties, on the other hand, say there are other ways to do that. But the problem with the Macron government is that it does not like negotiation. Meanwhile, as workers continue rolling strikes, heaps of garbage in Paris streets have become the symbol of the protests. The crisis has intensified because of controversy over policing tactics, with lawyers complaining of arbitrary arrests, injuries, and heavy-handedness during crowd control. More than 30 lawyers have recently written an open letter to Le Monde, stating their great concern over what they called arbitrary arrests of hundreds of people, accusing the police of using the judicial systems and arrests as a tactic to put people off protesting. Under the leadership of Emmanuel Macron, participating in protests in France today carries the risk of being seriously injured by rubber bullets and other dangerous weapons used by the police, a flagrant violation of human rights. Since 2018, millions of people have taken to the streets in France to demand social and economic justice. The response of the authorities has been to weaponize the law to crack down on peaceful protesters. President Macron has said he has no choice but to implement the pension reform out of economic considerations. But he has not said why he doesn't allow people to protest peacefully.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam. Welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. And during this episode, we're going to speak about how to talk to Allah. So be with us.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath. I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please leave you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Today, Thursday, is the 27th of Shawwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 28th of Ordibehesht, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 18th of May, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen to verses 1, 2, 4 of chapter An-Najm.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
والنجم إذا هوى.
By the star when it descends.
ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى.
Your companion Muhammad has not strayed, nor has he erred.
وَمَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى.
Nor does he speak from his own inclination.
إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى.
It is not but a revelation revealed.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The words of the noble prophet arise from neither personal desires nor social milieu. Does the blessed verse in question say that the noble prophet does not speak of concupiscent desires, but he merely imparts divine revelation? In this respect, he is different from common people who speak out of their natural inclinations and concupiscent desires. Rather, his words arise from the noble prophet's heart connected to the higher world. When Imam Ali, peace be upon him, was assigned as the imam and successor of the noble prophet at the Qadir Khum, the latter was criticized, but he recited the blessed verse. His word is only a revelation revealed to him.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness, everything which makes no sense, know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights. Shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone.
And in this part, how to talk to Allah. How often do you want to make heartfelt dua? It is a struggle to convey your words to Allah. Or even when making a general dua, do you feel like you are lost for words? Talk to Allah like He is your best friend. When you see something amazing, even though Allah knows it, quietly mention it to Him. When you are walking home from work, tell Him about your day. Tell Him about your plans for next day when you are lying in bed. Tell Him about the dream you had, what you want to eat for dinner when you are stressed. Tell Him about your family. Just talk to Allah. As a result, you will grow closer to Him and it will be easier to make dua and it will be easier to turn to Him in both happiness and sadness.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Does God really hear us? Today we are going to talk about this important question. That does God really hear us and why does God sometimes not answer our prayers? This is an important question that we want to answer today. All in all, we have to trust the greatness of Allah. We have to trust the experience that Allah knows it best for us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer all the requests and he is totally close to His creatures and He hears everything. And he answers all the requests and demands of the people. Some of the requests that has not been given to the person in this world, they will be definitely given to him in the hereafter. Because there would be a good compensation for the person. And Allah wants him to compensate for him for whatever good he did in this world. And Allah wants to tell him that, so I refrain to give it in the world, this world to you, since you have done too many good things in certain situations and conditions. So I wanted to compensate that goodness for you here in the hereafter.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Do you know that practicing mindfulness and hold ourselves accountable is one of the acts of worship when we can't pray? Choose a time of day and get into a comfortable posture in a quiet and scheduled place. Settle your state of heart and mind by feeling the life and energy Allah gave you throughout your body. Know and feel that Allah is watching you and focus on being present with Him in that moment. Take a healthy, critical look at yourself. What makes you disobey Allah? Self-accountability is not about beating yourself up for your own shortcomings, but seeing yourself for what it is, realizing the greatness of Allah in comparison, and working on positive change. Make a list of things you need to work on, from character traits like anger or stubbornness, to habits like wasting time. Reflect on the gratitude list you made. Reflect on this new list as you raise your hands for dua. Imagine them as mountains next to each other. What do they look like? What have you been given by Allah? What do you owe Him?
Jalali
والإكرام يا إلهي فاعف عني واهدني ولا تتركني.
This is today's special, and Allah as the Creator communicates with His creation. Agree with this sentence? Allah communicates with and conveys various meanings to men via incalculable signs or ayah He had embedded in each and every aspect of His creation, from the grand sets to the humblest and most ordinary. The signs permeate and dominate not only elements of the physical creation, but also the whole of man's existence, his society, civilization, and history. Allah says in chapter Al-Yusuf, verse 105, "And how many signs in the heavens and the earth do they pass by, yet they turn their face away from them." The truth contained in Revelation is essentially the same truth as contained in the working of Allah's providence in human history and the history of individual souls, as well as in the physical and metaphysical signs scattered literally throughout creation.
Allah's mercy is greater than anything that you can imagine. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ The mercy of God encompasses everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it when a person repents. When a young person, when a sinner turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا بِتَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ من العقيم الوالد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely happy when a person returns and does tawbah and turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How happy? من العقيم الوالد. A parent, a lady, and a man, they can't have a child. They wait years. They want to have a child. Eventually Allah gives them a child. How happy are they going to be? They're going to be extremely happy. The hadith says that God is happier when a person decides to change the course of their life and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, when we talk about tawbah, when we talk about reconnecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't just mean you go and you say astaghfirullah and God will forgive you. No, it's a pathway. It's difficult. It's not always easy. Sometimes you have to fix the errors that you had done in the past. Sometimes if you have oppressed other people, you need to go and fix the problems. You need to go and deal with the oppression that you have caused. But yes, if it's things between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah is forgiving. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى And I shall forgive. وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لَا This is the lam. This is lam al-qasam. This means God is swearing to us. Does God need to make a vow to me? When I want people to believe me, I say, I swear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ And there's a difference between ghafir and ghafar. Ghafar means exaggerating the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means I will always forgive. You sin today, Allah will forgive you. You sin tomorrow, Allah will forgive you. If you seek the repentance. وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَاب For the one who does tawbah. What does tawbah mean? Tawbah means returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we meet you soon. And till then, fi amanillah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
crazy who you're praying for. They told me there is nothing who you're looking for. Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.